And Ron Steele has been all over the world pursuing the three loves of his life, which is why he's written a book, Deadline Eternity, a journalist torn between three loves. So, Ron, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning to you, Janine. Yeah, thanks so much. Lovely to be with you on Radio Pulpit.
So firstly, we maybe not assume that people know exactly who I'm speaking to. I mean, you've been well known in the Christian circles for years and years and years. But maybe just to introduce yourself as the Ron Steele today, the relaxed one that's not in front of anyone, no microphones in front of you, just yourself. Just tell me who you are these days.
These days I'm sort of semi-retired because I don't think one ever really does retire. So I'm living just opposite the beach of Mshanga Rocks. So I'm trying to retire, trying to relax and enjoy my golden years. But there's still lots of work to do, especially if you're involved in the kingdom of God. There's always something that's got to be done to further the gospel of Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
So obviously I've completed my memoir, and I think there's a lot of stuff that was left out, because it's not a biography. So there are a lot of things in my life that have still not been exposed to the public, but we'll see when I feel like writing again, I might do another memoir or write something that's close to my heart, and that is how to hear the voice of the Lord, how to be led by God. I think it's a subject which I think all of us, we want to please God, and it's one of those things that we need to get right.
Absolutely. You describe three loves.
Deadline
Eternity is all about a journalist torn by three loves. The three loves you're talking about would be what?
Well, first of all, it was my love for God, which is what sustained me throughout my journey in the memoir, and my love for my wife.
Ron, are you back?
I'm back, yes.
Yeah, you see, that's the wonder of technology. As great as it works normally, sometimes it doesn't. Okay, I've been informing people about the three loves that you had that has been warring against one another. But tell me why. Why was it such a problem to love the Lord and love your wife and still be a journalist?
Well, unfortunately, you know, I have weaknesses. And one of the things about being a journalist was the fact is that I started in journalism when I was an 18-year-old kid straight out of school. And journalism in those days, when we're looking back at 1957, 58, and I was introduced into a world which I'd never known at all, and it was a world of hard drinking, womanizing, and every other kind of sin that you could think of. So it was very easy for me to drift into that, and I did. And so by the time I was 21, I was a hard drinker, and overcame that when I went to Zambia, or at least it was Northern Rhodesia in those days, and went into the ministry. But then later on in my life, I came back to South Africa and again drifted back. Because of apartheid, I didn't want to take a church that was not integrated, so I went back to journalism. And also drifted back into the pub. So that was a weakness in my life that caused a bit of turmoil in my marriage and also in my relationship with the Lord. But I think the story that I try to tell in the book is that, you know, God is so wonderful and so forgiving and so kind, and so was my wife, that if you just persevere. And I had that inner love for God all the time. Disappointed him dreadfully at times, and disappointed myself, disappointed my wife. But I truly do believe that love does overcome all of these things. And the great thing that God did was to give me a wife like Maureen, who was able to stand by me, even though when things were bad and things were tough. We met when I moved to Lusaka to take over a church, and although she was just a member of the congregation, she was in fact almost engaged to another young man who was in the church, who happened to be a boxing champion, became a heavyweight boxing champion of Zambia. But then things worked out so that the Lord stepped in to show me that Maureen would be my wife one day. But then I got cold feet, and eventually I quit. We went out for a couple of dates, and then I decided that there was too much chaos being brought into my church because my deacons did not like me having a relationship with Maureen, and my mother, who was with me as well, wasn't happy. And so there was a bit of turmoil in the church as well. So I took probably the coward's way out and just broke off the relationship with Maureen, and then came back to South Africa. Then, God sort of dealt with me, and although I was back in newspapers, I still had this yearning in my heart to renew my relationship with Maureen, and which I did, and I described that in the book, and it's so we got married in 1967, 68, I think, 1968, and we're still married today. So that God has been wonderful to me, looking after me and Maureen, and also giving us two beautiful children as well. So I'm just very thankful to how God looks after one. And part of my story, I think, is in many ways I'm a bit of a prodigal who drifted far away from God at times and then came back again and was welcomed into the arms of God again. And I think that's the one thing I'd like to encourage. I know there are many Christians who get into trouble, do things wrong, feel that they've failed and they've let God down. But they must not sort of fall into that sort of state of depression or be deceived that God no longer loves you or cares about you. He does. And if you're open and honest with God, and I think that's it. I realized early on in my Christian life that you couldn't hide anything from God.
Mm.
And if you were open and honest with God and just explained to Him exactly the way you felt, we kind of sometimes, I think, Christians wear a mask to the world and even try to fool God. And well, I think they're trying to fool God and not being honest about the way they should be living their lives. And I think that's what I've always tried to do. I mean, I would sometimes in the middle of the night in the pub or whatever it was where I was, I would sometimes drive home very much under the influence of alcohol and say, God, please, I'm so sorry, and forgive me. It's the drunk speaking to God. But that's the relationship that I try to cling to, try to hang on to. And I was very weak, but thank God that I had a Heavenly Father who loved me and would not let me go. That's why I eventually came back and continued to serve God. I worked in a big church in Johannesburg, public relations and that sort of thing, and was the spokesman for Pastor Ray McCauley for many years in Johannesburg, and then worked for a big church down in Durban, the Durban Christian Center. So, God is never finished with you. You might think that you've failed, that you can't fail that badly. God will always come with open arms and loving arms to lift you up and help you along the way again. And I've experienced that, and thank God for all that He has done. And I think the book is trying to explain that with being honest, the way that I lived my life, the way I failed, looked at myself and saw all the faults in myself, and continued, and all through it all, God was there at times. I think He even helped me get some good stories that I wrote at the time when I was with the newspapers in South Africa. But, that's it. It's been a journey that I've loved. Been hard at times, been difficult at times. And there are always trials and all storms that come into your life, but you get over them. In fact, yesterday I had rather an ugly experience with a monkey attacking me just outside my flat in Slonga Rocks, and had to go to go to the hospital and give them a rabies injection. So we're not immune to the trials and tribulations of life. They continue until that great and wonderful day when we stand before Jesus and see him face to face. And something which we all should be looking forward to. And also, I want to encourage people to just keep on loving God, because he loves you more than we could ever, ever understand. He's paid a huge price for us, giving us Jesus Christ as our substitute and our Redeemer. So I just encourage everybody at this Easter weekend to remember what a great and wonderful Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, Ron, I want to ask you, because you were in ministry when you lost the plot again. And it feels to me like so many times, even like in the Old Testament with Israel, when they at last, now they've got Canaan and now everything goes well. And it's like you are so blessed that you get used to God. And also because you're in ministry, you know all the answers. You know what is right and wrong. And you know that you are sinning at this stage. You know what the decisions you're making. And then you have to hide it. The mask gets extra thick when you're in ministry. Yeah. I want to ask you, why, when we're supposed to be so blessed and when we know the truth, why do people in ministry get tired of doing good? You know what I mean? Tired of the gospel, used to the good news.
Yeah, I think one of the most dangerous place for anybody to be working in is the ministry, because, as you say, you become too professional about being a Christian. So we know the answers, you know that you can talk the talk, but meanwhile your heart is a long way from God. So it's a danger that exists in all ministries. And the thing is I think that, you know, we think that when we gave our hearts to the Lord, that was a one-time surrender. It's not. I think there's a process that we go through as Christians. I'm 84 now, and I'm still learning to surrender everything to God. And I think that's what we have to do, because we have good days and bad days as Christians, and sometimes we get maybe a little bit depressed, a little bit sad, and think that, oh, this journey is so hard and long that you want to quit. And again, as I say, you've got to come to God with those thoughts and those things that go through your mind, and just chat to God, discuss with God, and know that he understands and hears you and is listening and will help you to get through. You know, the favor and the grace of God is incredible. And we need to be able to just keep on going forward. And never ever think of taking it for granted of what God has done and what Jesus Christ has done. And that is that surrender. I think there's a point of being more and more honest and more open with God, and also to examine yourself. And I think that's really what we need to do. We need to keep checking ourselves, and especially check our thought life, check what you're thinking about, what you're looking at. Very, very important that we not try to forgive ourselves. We'll say, well, a little bit of sin, nobody will see it, nobody will catch me, whatever it is. Don't be deceived, because that will certainly find you out, and you're certainly God seeing it anyway. So you've got to be open and honest all the time. And don't get too professional.
There's pride to it. I mean, it takes humility. What is the word? The word says, keep weighing yourself to be whether you're still in Jesus, lest you may fall. Just after you've judged someone else for their falling, you better weigh yourself to see that you. But the pride is in that thing that you feel, I'm doing enough good that it sort of counters. If I do something bad or think something bad, there's a logic to it, a sinful, fleshly logic to trying to get away with it, with something.
We try to talk ourselves into make excuses. You know, that's why the world is full of lies at the moment. You know, politicians with professional lies all around the world, because they tell a story, but they know that they don't believe it, and they just try to fool people. But you know, one of the things about a Christian is we've got to remember that we are servants of God. And I think that servanthood is something which is missing, especially especially in the ministry, because we get high-flying celebrities and that sort of thing. I want bodyguards, big cars, and flashy homes and everything else. That's not a servant, you know. That's when the celebrity status. And I'm not against having a good car and a good home and everything. But the thing is that we've got to keep a servant's heart in the ministry, that we are serving God first and God's people second. And that's a great responsibility. And sometimes that is what a minister might kind of neglect. He is the servant of the people.
Yeah.
And they are watching you, and they're watching your behavior. So we mustn't, as I say, become too professional. We need to stay humble and know that God will keep on helping us with the grace to be able to do what he wants us to do. There's no greater challenge than to be able to have the privilege of wanting to bless God with our testimony and our love for him and the love for Jesus.
Ambassadors for him, whether we want to be or not. So you wrote this book, Deadline Eternity, A Journalist Torn by Three Loves. If someone sits now and they spend the whole weekend and they read right through the book and they put it down, what do you want to have achieved? What's that message that you want to hook onto their hearts forever?
I want them to know that God's love is absolute. You can't run away from God's love. If you have an open heart, God will step into that heart and transform your whole life and give you eternal life and a blessed future in eternity with him forever and ever, and with no sin, no pain, no suffering. That's the promise of God, and that's something that cannot be met by anything that this world can offer us.
And if people want to get hold of the book and also to follow your ministry, you're still on social media everywhere, I see. How do they do that?
Well, you can buy the book. It's available at Take A Lot if you want to buy the soft cover. It's on Take A Lot. And obviously, it's on Amazon if you want the digital. And you can get it through Amazon. I hope that people will get something that's meaningful out of reading that book, and will know what I'm, and know for themselves that wonderful love. And also the one thing also that I think the book explains a little bit is the how you can get through marriage even when things go wrong.
Mm.
Because we loved each other, and that love was strong enough to keep us together even when I was adrift and very wayward. God gave me a wonderful woman. Maureen was blessed with much grace to be able to help me through all of the bad times and to be that strength that was there besides the strength of Christ my Savior. Amen.
Well, I think what you the issues you're tackling are meaningful and very and vital in Christianity all over the world in any case, but may it be something that the seed falls on good ground, and may it work, you know, may it make
Amen.
An eternal difference in people's
sure.
lives. And thank you for the vulnerability, for having the guts of telling the actual story, which, you know, when you weak, God is strong, is exactly
Amen.
Played out in this. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Janine. Thank you. My privilege to be with you.